Let's read again from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And keep in mind, we'll be studying this afternoon, hearing the Holy Scriptures. This morning we looked at the Holy Scriptures and how they had affected Timothy's life, the power that's in the Holy Scriptures, and also the availability of the Holy Scriptures and things of this nature. And this evening we'll look at hearing the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul has informed Timothy about the Holy Scriptures. He pointed out to him that they are inspired of God, that they can make one wise unto salvation, that they're profitable, and that they will completely equip the man of God so that he or she may do a good work for God. Paul charged Timothy to preach the Holy Scriptures, stating explicitly that the Lord would judge him and that he should not be turned aside from preaching the Word of God. But as he continues the letter, he then points out how men would listen to the preaching of the Holy Scriptures. That is, how will men listen as the Holy Scriptures are preached? Will people demand that the Holy Scriptures be preached? Will they demand another message? What will be the attitude of some who hear the preaching of the Holy Scriptures? Paul writes, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This word time means a season or a period of time rather than simply a specific time. The word endure doesn't mean staying under the load like we usually think of the definition of enduring, but it means to put up with anything, to simply bear it. So he is saying there will be a particular season, a particular time frame when people will not bear nor endure sound doctrine. We get the word good health from sound. And when we look at what we studied about Hymenaeus and Philetus, where their word will eat as doth a canker, we understand that that word canker was the King James language that meant a cancer or gangrene or an open running sore, like a bed sore. So here what they said, what these two men said in the second chapter in verse 17, that it was cancerous. Well, opposed to the cancerous words that these men were using, there would be a time when they would not endure healthy or health-producing words. There will be a season when people will not put up with wholesome teaching. You know, it's kind of difficult not only to get your children to eat right, it's pretty difficult to get yourself to eat right. And Paul is saying that as far as the spiritual diet of some people is concerned, they will simply not put up with the truth, the sound teaching that comes from the Holy Scriptures. Paul tells us, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Strong desire. Also, the idea of heaping, shall they heap to themselves, has the idea of piling up, but here I think it means to procure a teacher, one teacher after another. That is, but after their own strong desires shall they string together one teacher after another. And these people who string together these all kinds of teachers have itching ears. It's not the people they get who have itching ears, but it's these people who will not endure sound doctrine. They want something that will tickle or scratch, literally, the ears that are itching. Paul then, of course, elaborates on this a little more. They shall procure for themselves a great crowd of teachers, a continuous succession of new teachers. Itching here means to tickle or to scratch or to itch. These hearers were anxious to hear spicy bits of information. These new teachers were willing to relieve their itch by preaching things that were not necessarily or exactly true. For instance, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they didn't deny the resurrection of Jesus, but they preached that the resurrection was already past. So they weren't rightly dividing the Word of God. And therefore, you know, there is the resurrection, there is the coming of the Lord, there is a time when it will be too late to call upon the Lord. All these things are true. Everything they were saying was true, but it was out of the true teaching. In other words, the Lord's coming back, the resurrection's true. The Lord's come back and you're not saved, it's too late to be saved. But these people were preaching something out of sync. And therefore, what they preached was disturbing people. They were preaching the resurrection is already past. So these people are not people who deny God. They're not people who say there is no God. They're not people who say the Bible isn't true. But these are people who don't rightly divide the Word of God, and therefore what they preach and teach causes serious illness to the body of Christ, which is the church. And these people wanted new teachers, new preachers continually. I think you can see that in the modern day trend of having someone come that's exciting and dynamic. Usually, just about every service, someone has what we call an unusual or peculiar testimony. Not someone who was saved like you and I, but as Brother Archer says, someone that was gloriously saved. I agree with what he says, that, you know, there's some of us that we were just saved, and then there are other people who were gloriously saved. And it's these gloriously saved people that give the fantastic, almost out of the world experiences, using Bible languages and using Bible language rather, and using Bible words to make it a whole lot more dramatic than perhaps it really was. I cut this article out of a religious paper yesterday, and I thought it fit well what we're talking about now. New style alternative churches. Here in Texas, the traditional church has been taking a beating in many areas. With both scandal and apathy taking their toll, many are unchurched and lost. Rather than getting back to basics with old-fashioned preaching of God's Word, many are looking for something new, different, something entertaining. In Bedford, northeast of Fort Worth, Sam Carmack, aged 40, has started a new church. Sam's a graduate of Baylor and Southwestern, has served as a missionary in Brazil, and pastored in both Oklahoma and Kentucky. According to press reports here in South Texas, Sam believes you're going to see, quote, gobs of churches like this starting up. What is this? Everything about Bear Creek Valley Church was developed and then marketed to attract people. From the casual atmosphere to the contemporary music to to the sermons relating the Bible to such modern problems as divorce and career failure, even to its soothing subdivision-like name. This new style Baptist church was designed in response to the stated needs of non-church-going baby boomers. Literally, what they do is go out into an area and take a survey. They ask, would you come to a church that? And then list choices. And what is it about going to church that you don't like? And they'd list the things that people usually say. So they take these surveys, which are based on the same psychological principles as you would if you were going to market a new soap. You get the what kind of fragrance is best, what kind of color is best, what kind of soap size is best, what kind of design of the soap, a bar of soap is best. You get all the responses and you take these and you add them all up and then you make a bar of soap like that. Well, this is what they do in a community. They go out in a large area. They take all the surveys. They talk to people over a period of time. They hire companies to do this who make these surveys. Then they actually do what the people say they want. And out of it, there's developed this kind of circumstance. On a typical Sunday, Sam stands before the congregation wearing a flowered shirt and casual slacks. Most of the audience is similarly attired, including shorts and t-shirts. Nancy Carmack signs and plays an electric keyboard. Another soloist does tunes that sounds like something Amy Grant would sing. There is little organized prayer or congregational singing. The focus of the service is an entertaining video about finding true faith beamed onto the big movie screen, and a quiet 20-minute talk Sam delivers on reconciling evolution with the Bible. Now, I didn't make this up. Here's a preacher goes out and asks people what you want. They tell him, and he does it. And that's exactly what Paul's writing to Timothy about. Here were persons in the congregation. There were some preachers they didn't like. They wanted one exciting kind of person right after another who could satisfy their curiosity, a sort of, I really hate to say this because it sounds so out of place, but they want to take the Word of God and turn it into one of these tabloids you'd buy at the supermarket. You know, here are all these, I mentioned this the other Sunday, all these tabloids, the National Enquirer, for instance, with all of the titillating reading, the three-headed people and when people have seen Elvis and all that really important stuff. That if you read it and believed it, it would really help you. It'd make you a better person. I mean, it's really good stuff. And everybody, even the people who print it, know it's a lie. That it's just sensationalism. But people pick it up constantly. They buy it by the ton. They make millionaires out of these people who make up these sensational lies. Well, these people had itching ears. They sat in the congregation, they sat in the pew, and they said, this is the kind of sensational National Enquirer gospel that we want to hear. Because they had, quote, inquiring minds. Paul said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They have itching ears, but what is it do they want to hear? What exactly is the message they want to hear? Sensational, exciting, quote, interesting, up-to-date, relevant, all these buzzwords. That's what we want to hear. Tell us about making a career change. What does the Word of God say? And just plug in about any kind of modern-day thing you want to. But don't preach it, because we don't like preaching. Put it on a tape and put it on a big screen. Do you know why? Because people have gotten their information from a screen for so many years. Now you listen. People have gotten their information from a screen for so many years until they don't know how to listen to personal instruction. So the churches are saying, okay, we'll get a tape, a video, and we'll play it on a gigantic screen up front. The preacher can stand over here and watch, and we'll all get our information from a screen because they've been doing it since they were a kid, lying in front of the TV like that. So they want to come to church and do the same thing because that's what they're accustomed to. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. Now, when you turn away from something, you turn to something. What is it that these people will turn away from? The truth. Just the facts of God's Word, just the principles of this book, inspired, God-breathed, absolute fact, absolute truth, been the basis of Christian living for hundreds of years, been the basis of Christian government for hundreds of years, been the basis of families that have succeeded in every walk of life for hundreds of years, the good way, the tried way, God's way, but they're going to turn away from it and turn to what? The Bible says fables. The word that's translated fables can be transliterated into myths. But it is a tale or a story. It always is fictional, okay? It is never the absolute truth. They always preach and teach making up stories. And the stories, of course, that are made up are always fictional. Now you think about that. It doesn't mean that they're preaching about really way out things that are obviously incorrect. It just means that when they preach, they make up, listen, they make up stories that, quote, illustrate their point. And these stories are always rather elaborate and very emotional. Now listen, when Paul wanted to illustrate a point, when God wanted to illustrate a point, he used Bible characters like Abraham and all the other characters of the Old Testament. These are not mythical creatures. They shall be turned unto fables. They will be turned to belief in foolish stories. Have you heard the foolish stories of the Russians who bored down in the earth so many thousands of feet and suddenly they heard this noise and this kind of stuff and they had no idea what it was and they tape recorded it, and then when they had gotten to where they could really sort out the sounds, it was the sounds of people screaming and crying and no one knew what it was. Until finally someone remembered that in hell all the people would be screaming and crying. And what these Russian geologists had done is they had bored so deep that they had got right to hell where they could hear all the people crying and screaming and they could even detect the words they were saying. Now y'all are listening to me. You're listening. You got an intense look on your face. Is that right? Now that's the kind of fictional story that people want. You get all, I mean, you woke up when I started telling you that. Hey, what's he saying now? So when I was preaching here, y'all, oh yeah. But aren't these stories more interesting than Bible concepts and precepts, things like that? I tell you a story about, I mean, I'm good at making up stories. I'm fantastic at it, to be quite plain with you. But I don't do it. You know why? Because God doesn't want me to. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, what's Timothy supposed to do in the midst of all this? And Paul has done this at least three times. He's called Timothy and said, but you, but you, but you. And he says it again in verse 5, but watch thou in all things. watch here doesn't mean just to be vigilant like some words that are translated watch. Here, it means to take careful note of what is happening around you and stay true and steady in the course that you have set. So it's more than just staying awake, more than just being vigilant. It's looking at everything that's happening around you and noting everything that's happening around you and saying, no, I don't want to go that direction. No, I don't want to go that direction. No, I don't want to go that direction. No, I don't want to go this direction. But it's continuing, watch thou in all things. Watch everything that's going on around you and interpret all things that is going on around you with the Word of God. Endure all things. To hold oneself upright. To hold or sustain an equal mind. You know what it really means? It means to keep your sanity. To keep your mind. Endure afflictions. That is, the afflictions that are going around you. The evil that's going on around you. Keep a sound, level head about this stuff. But you must always be composed. Keep your composure. Do not shrink from hardship. And that's a good advice for us today. Keep your spiritual composure. A lot of excitement, a lot of thrilling, quote, things going on in the religious world. You better keep your head. You better keep your direction. You may follow a myth. Do the work of an evangelist. Here the word work is energy. So he's saying throw your energy into an activity. An evangelist is one who proclaims good news, but it must be a correct proclamation of good news. I tried to do as much research as I could into this word and to the concept of this, and a non-Christian inscription with the meaning a proclaimer of oracle, which would mean a person who repeats the message of another. So the evangelist is one who proclaims what another has said or taught, that is the truth, and it is generally, but not always, good news, but it must always be correct. You'll notice it's the work of an evangelist, not the office. There may have been at one time in the intertestament period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, for the New Testament's completely canonized, there may have been in the early church the office of an evangelist. But the work and the descriptions of those who would hold that office are not in the New Testament. The only, quote, qualifications we have described are bishop and deacon. So there's the only offices that exist today, but the work of an evangelist still exists today, and it's not for preachers. The work of an evangelist is for everybody, okay? It is an act. It is an energy. It is the act of proclaiming the good news that has come from Almighty God. Now, when you put this in context of Paul talking about Philetus and Hymenaeus, when you put it in context of the inspired Word of God, when you put it in context of people who are telling wild, exciting stories, then you have to assume that this doesn't just appear here out of the blue, that there's something that the context has, some influence it has on this, and the influence that our context has on this would be correct and absolutely true to the Word of God, as well as being good in its content. I think Paul is also saying, make full proof of thy ministry in the sense of accomplish all that God has called you to do. Work to spread the gospel and do all the duties of your calling. I think that's a fair translation. Work to spread the gospel and do all the duties of your calling.